Today I want to talk about recreating gravity. Even though there are lots of different ideas and descriptions and theories of gravity, and scientists who've been studying it for years and years have difficulty agreeing on what it actually is, we still use it, even without full awareness of what it is. Two main ideas related to gravity are these. One says gravity is a force that pulls us to the center of the Earth. Any large body, the Sun, the Moon, the Earth, and other planets, pull from their center all things that they can influence. Another point of view is that it's not pulling from the center that is gravity, but rather a pushing downward from outside toward the center. That's gravitation. So it's either pulling or pushing, according to the two main variations of gravitational theory. Either way, you and I have learned how to use gravity for the most part. When we stand and maintain balance, we're doing it successfully. When we trip and fall or drop something accidentally, we're not using it all that effectively. But nonetheless, it is still influencing us. I call gravity an organizing principle. I like that phrase, organizing principle, and I capitalize the O and the P. For me, it means using gravity as an organizing principle is why we put furniture on the floor and not on the ceiling. We put pictures on the wall and not the ceiling. We walk on the floor and not the ceiling because we organize our lives around this principle we call gravity. We recognize if we try to put a chair on the ceiling, chances are we would be in for serious problems and perhaps injury or breakage of the furniture or perhaps our bodies. So this is normal to us to use gravity as an organizing principle in our homes. Sporting events, games, rely on the influence of gravity for the flight of the ball. A golfer hits a golf ball expecting that trajectory to go up because of the force they applied to the ball and then come down because of gravity. And now they're trying to adjust the distance and direction of that ball by their contact with it. Same is true of basketball, throwing a basketball up, hoping that it will come down in such a way as to enter the hoop and pass through. Hitting a baseball out to the outfield, the player hopes it's going to go over the fence before gravity takes an effect on it, and the outfielder is hoping that gravity will influence it so he can reach it and catch it in his glove. I call the law of attraction an organizing principle, and I also call it horizontal gravity, because we attract not up and down like we think in terms of gravity, but in fact toward us, so sideways, if you can imagine that. So the law of attraction is the way to attract things sideways into our physical experiences. The rules we were taught as children, the dogma that was drilled into us, the educational experiences that we've had, the beliefs we've learned, and those that we developed on our own, such as prejudices and fears and superstitions and hopes and dreams and unbeliefs, all determine the nature of how we attract things into our experiences. I like to use the 12 worlds as a framework: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance worlds as a way to look at what we're doing, our thinking and feeling and behaviors in life. I think we've got an opportunity to look at each of these in whatever sequence is most important to you in an effort to recreate the organizing principles that we've been handed, or we've created, or we've accepted, and we operate by. because those organizing principles, that horizontal gravity in each of those worlds, is really what is shaping our lives. And if the shape of our lives is not what we desire, then we need to change the shaping forces. That's why we want to recreate gravity. People often think that they just believe their beliefs, like it's automatic. But I think in many cases, just the practice of thinking the same thought over and over again in a certain way is what makes it become denser and denser, and then it seems realer and truer and more accurate, even if it's not. A lot of people don't recognize that they're being handed thoughts, and then they're being coached into making them solid by having them drummed into them over and over again by, say, a television or radio talking head or anybody else for that matter. The fact is, people have the opportunity to choose their own thoughts, or they allow others to choose those thoughts for them. And the fact that this is going on is often overlooked. People think, this is my belief. And if you question, which oftentimes doesn't happen, but if they self-question, why do I believe this to be true? They're like, gee, I don't know. I guess I never really considered there was any other way except for it to be true. There's a real opportunity there. From a place of mindfulness, we can recreate gravity by reviewing and re-choosing organizing principles for ourselves in present time, based upon our awareness now and our goals for ourselves. Oftentimes we've made up these programming statements, these rules, these beliefs, before we knew what we wanted to do with our lives, or we did it in a moment of fear or pain, which is one of the two of the least effective times to be making programming statements. Here's an example of reviewing and re-choosing in the spiritual world. Here are a series of questions that we could ask ourselves, and probably haven't done it in a very long time, if ever. What kind of God do you want? How do you want to relate to God and have God relate to you? How would you like your needs be met with this God? And those needs, I use the framework of, because it's convenient, of survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, the need to be right, and then this combined, the need to look good, get approval. So how would your needs be met with this God that you've just re-chosen? What emotional state would you standardly be in when you relate to your God? Shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride, courageousness, acceptance, or peace? How do you want to think of yourself in relation to God? How do you want to think of others, other people, other things, animals, objects, and so on, Mother Earth, in relation to God? And fundamentally, for a lot of people, is God your puppet master? Is God trying to get you to do stuff by pulling on your puppet strings and punishing you if you don't do those? And you can go on and on with a series of questions similar to that, and I think it could be very worthwhile to do that. A lot of your gravity and my gravity is what we believe about ourselves, life, other people, work, God, money, health, etc. And that stuff has been created by parents and teachers and priests and ministers and rabbis and peers. Particularly when we were younger, we just accepted that programming without being able to consider it, reason through, and make our own choices. If we live in a free will universe, as some people describe it, and I think planet Earth certainly seems to have free will, then we have the right to review and revise the organizing principles that were shaped by other people's awareness. And if we were to look at those painful events that we've had, perhaps at the hands or words of our parents, we would recognize that they may have been the least functional, the least effective when they were delivering those, in quotes, lessons to us. And so really makes it important for us to be able to revise those things because of the awareness that were impacting us at those times. So if we're the co-creators of our own lives, and I think we are, we have the right and the responsibility to create rules that support the highest values we have and our goals that we have and have chosen over the course of our lives. Now is the time to do that. How we think about our ability to think, that statement you probably haven't thought about recently, right? Here, how we think about our ability to think and learn is one of the most important facets of our self-acceptance and self-empowerment. Most of us, if not all of us, have received inputs over the course of our lives, as youngsters especially, about our intelligence. This either positive or negative, or both recognitions at various times, is usually related to how well we fit into other people's frameworks and expectations. I would say that the helpful advice that our mothers gave us, consider the source before we jump to action, could be expanded now to include consider the source and consider their purposes and consider the needs, their needs, that they are trying to get you to satisfy. That's valuable to do that. The subject of intelligence and intelligences has been more fully explored in recent years, so it's important for us to explore it too. A lot of people just think of IQ, intelligence quotient. But instead of thinking of that limited and limiting viewpoint that intelligence is accurately and totally measured by that one standard of IQ testing, we've come to see and to be able to document that there are multiple intelligences, such as physical intelligence, musical intelligence, spatial intelligence, social intelligence, emotional intelligence, and others. Depending on who you speak with, there's either 7 or 8 commonly accepted intelligences. This would be a great time to recreate gravity regarding our mental world. It's more than just IQ. It's all these other forms of intelligences, even as they overlap into other worlds. We could ask these questions, and I would encourage you to ask others that occur to you. How can I give myself credit for my intelligences? And then instead of being in self-protection, we open up to the truth of how magnificent we are and the magnificence we can become, we have a whole different experience. What are the things that excite and interest me so I want to know more and more about them? For those people that were considered dumb or lazy, another way to look at that is those things that they were talking about may have interested in them, but they didn't interest me. And people oftentimes labeled kids that weren't interested in what we were interested in as there's something wrong with that child, as compared to they're not interested in the subject or the way you're describing it or your teaching process. Another question, where do I see myself adding value to energy for the benefit of myself and others? Everything is energy. It flows to us and through us, and through our intelligences, through our attention and intention, through the skills that we develop, through our interest, we add value to those energies, and then we exchange them with other people. How can I do that for the benefit of myself and others? Where do I like to direct my attention? Where do I like to direct my intention? The answers to these questions and others can highlight our intelligences. We're all intelligent, some more than others in each of these categories, but we all have intelligences. As we increase our awareness about the fact that we are intelligent, then we start to feel more self-accepting and we about what we are, what we want to be, what we're willing to apply our attention and intention to, because basically, a genius is a person who applies his attention and intention to one particular area until he becomes expert at it. It's like, So pretty much anybody can do that. But if we apply our attention and intention to something that we don't want, we're quickly going to run out of steam. If we apply it to what we enjoy exploring, then we pretty much have unlimited energy that flows to us and through us. We can transform our opinions of our intelligences by enhancing our personal knowledge about ourselves. We can recreate gravity. As I mentioned a couple of times, gravity could be seen as a pull toward the center of the Earth or a push toward the center of the Earth. Using these as models, we might be able to see there is the similar effect of our values, the pull of our values, and the push of responsibility, of rules, and the need for order. In both of these cases, the definitions of these directionalized forces is up to us. We could compile a list of values, and you could do that by Googling list of values, and then you could prioritize them. You could highlight those things that seem to be most important to you. You could do the same thing with a list of responsibilities, what you believe you're being pushed to do by society. We need to have rules and responsibility and order, otherwise life would be anarchy or chaos, and none of us are really interested in that. I like the image of water seeking its own level by running downhill. That's a very common concept, and I like to apply it and see if this physics concept applies to other areas. And I think it does. We can look at that as a rule and say, okay, I see water running downhill. What's that about? That's gravity, either pulling or pushing. And I kind of think that the current immigration arguments going on, this political hot potato, is similar in a certain way. Except it's not gravity that's pulling immigrants here into the United States. It is opportunity. It's not gravity that's pushing immigrants out of their own countries. It's lack of opportunity. It's oppression. It's hardship. It's hopelessness is pushing them out. Immigrants, including my ancestors and probably yours, were pulled to America, if you're an American, by opportunity. And they were pushed from their homelands by inequality and oppression. For us in the U.S. to be trying to halt the flow of immigration, which is a symptom in my interpretation, without trying to resolve the causes of the imbalance that sets this flow of energy up, just sets up an expensive and ultimately futile effort to battle natural occurrences of energy flow that we call immigration. In a lot of circles, including the way I look at it, gravity is considered to be a natural but a mysterious force that influences so much of life on Earth. If we look at it either as a pull or the push, again, depending on which of those is most interesting, or both, you can look at it both, I think we can take that concept and apply it in another way, too. And we can recognize that human desire has the same effect as gravity. Desire sets up an energy flow between us and the object of our desire. To be pulled by the increasing clarity of what we desire is what happens as we increase our attention on it and it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer as to what we want. That is commonly experienced. That is not new news to people that it happens. What's less noticeable, it seems to me, is that energy flows from Source, God, to us, and then, because we have free will, we direct it at the object of our attention by placing our attention on it. This flow feels like it powers and pushes us forward toward it. It almost carries us toward our goal. Since we're not self-contained power sources like a dry cell D battery that you'd use in a flashlight, our energy is replenished in relation to the energy we flow, or, another way to say it, that we offer to the objects of our desire. Or we offer when we put our attention on other people. Or we offer when we put our attention on events occurring now, or past events, or future events, and what we offer to situations. As we offer it, we get replenishment. If we were to look at gravity as if it had a mindful purpose on its own, I would say that gravity has the purpose of unifying, of bringing things together. It also seems to have the purpose of creating balance, of equalizing forces, which is why water seeks its own level. That just reinforces that idea. If you've ever been near a river or on a river, you know that a river has a natural direction to its flow. If we found a river that was flowing in the same direction that we wanted to go, it was going toward our goal, it would be easy for us to get into a boat and have the river transport us from where we are to our goal very easily. We can create our own gravity and our own stream of energy by putting our attention on a desire. This statement, energy flows where attention goes, is a proven fact. Personally, I've proven that with regard to a hands-on healing technique that I learned some close to 30 years ago. Most people recognize as they put their attention on something, energy flows to it, and their relationship with that thing improves over and over and over based upon what they flow to it. Most everybody has experiences that prove this idea, that energy flows where attention goes. As we start focusing on our desire, the energy flow may be just the slightest trickle. Just a boom, one thought, energy flew. It flowed. As we continue, that trickle can become what seems like a stream, and then the stream becomes like a river that can easily bring us to our goal. That's the way to achieve a goal, stream energy. We become balanced by having the desire and then experiencing the reality of it as we move from where we are to where we want to be. As we occupy the same space, we and our desire become unified and balanced naturally. Part of the process of recreating gravity and also achieving goals can be described by this phrase, start a stream and get into it. Start a stream and get into it. When we put our attention on anything, we are streaming the energy we are offering to the object of our attention. You look at anything, you're streaming energy to it. It's like, oh, wow, oh, wow. Most people don't appreciate how powerful that is. As we continue to do that, put our attention on it, look deeper, and add appreciation and gratitude and affection, admiration and respect and generosity and compassion and excitement and interest to it, all kinds of wonderful things can occur. Since we start streams many times a day whenever we put our attention on anything, It makes sense to start these streams that flow to areas that we desire, appreciate, find interesting, and enlivening. It's not much different than creating a new highway or a path. Why would we make a highway that leads to where we don't want to go? In the world of physical highways, we wouldn't do that. But in the world of recreating gravity and starting streams, we may be less aware of the effects of our thinking, feeling, and acting. As we continue to stream energy toward our desires, it becomes as if the stream starts to carry us in that desired direction. We can experience the feelings of getting lighter by virtue of the vibrations we've started flowing. They flow to us and through us. As we express these higher vibrational energies, they are replenished in kind. We initiate the flow, kind of similar to priming a pump. Our offering is an unmistakable indication to the universe of what we want and what we want to experience in our lives. The phrase, getting into it, has a double meaning. The first is to allow the stream we have started to carry us to our objective, like a person who gets into the river in a boat or a rubber tube. The river will carry us if we get into it. The second meaning of getting into it is more slang-oriented. It means enthusiastically committing to a course of thinking, feeling, and acting. And you've probably heard this. Get into it. Oh, he's really into it. She's really into it. Wow, those kids are getting into it. That's what I'm speaking about. There's a common saying, you get out of it what you put into it. And this is usually expressed in conjunction with training programs or courses of study or the like. The same idea of starting a stream and getting into it applies. It is a show of decisiveness and faith that signals the universe, and that creates the reality of what we want to experience in our lives. We can recreate gravity and have it pull us toward our desires and push us toward our desires. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the Creator and connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings. Let us know, help us to understand and be aware that you are the ultimate gravity, pulling us, pushing us, nurturing us, enlivening us to our full expression of the highest values that we can conceive of, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Help us to be in the stream of joy that is you. Help us know that this stream of healing energy is always available to us. Help us to ride in, bathe in, love in this healing spirit. Thank you. It is so. Amen.